Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
With over 13,000 Ukrainian children enrolled in schools across the country, the Department of Education has warned it is facing significant cost and capacity pressures. In a moment, we'll speak to Tanya Ward from the Children's Rights Alliance. But first, around 20 families of refugees and asylum seekers have appealed for help after they were moved yesterday from the Red Cow Hotel in Dublin, in which they had been living since March. They say the new accommodation in a disused church in South County Dublin is completely unsuitable. 34 of the children have been attending St James's Primary School, and the school's home liaison teacher, Niamh Dodrell, has been speaking to our education correspondent, Emma O'Kelly.
We're simply heartbroken. We got word yesterday morning through a parent that they were told that they had to have their bags packed and be on a bus within that hour. Now, we have these children coming to us since March. They're very much part of our school community. We've just all so well gelled together, and they form an incredible multicultural aspect of our school, which we really are so happy about. And to think that these children have been taken from us, simply just taken from us, with no planning, no compassion, no empathy, no foresight, and have been just moved, dumped, in my opinion, into a venue that is beyond, it's not suitable for them, for their families. And we're talking about well-being in schools, and we've been asked to look after the well-being of children, but yet these children have been taken without any consideration for how they might adapt to this new surrounding. We're heartbroken, simply heartbroken. They're part of us now. Everything that we have done, they've gelled in so well. Our school community, our parents have welcomed them in. We see them on the lane every morning. We're having the chats. Other parents are having the chats with them. They've made fabulous friends, and they are us. They are part of our school community, and they've just been simply ripped from us. And I suppose collectively we feel that there's a hole now left, a void, a gap. We are extremely concerned for their welfare and their well-being. This should not have happened.
What have you heard of the conditions that the families are staying in now?
So yesterday evening I received some video footage and some voice notes from parents to say that the conditions that they're in are simply just horrendous. To be honest, what I seen was actually similar to what I would have went to a vaccination centre, cubicles that these families have been put in. Partitions don't go to ceiling. They simply fit maybe four bunk beds and I'd say a floor space to do a twirl in. There's pregnant women, mammies with children that are breastfeeding, on bottles. I've been told there was no heat, no facilities to get food, and there was one shower for 20 families out there. I'm just wondering, as human beings, where is the compassion? Where is the empathy? Have we gone that far that we're... And I mean, these aren't just families, they're our families. And I would dread to think that if any of my family was in that situation, that they would be treated with such lack of empathy. And it's beyond words, to be honest with you. And I'm so angry and so cross that it has got to this point.
Do you know anything about the kind of circumstances that some of these children have left behind in their home countries?
I have. And various stories came where mammy and child had to flee in the dark, couldn't tell any family members where they were going because they were in fear of their life. Now, that's not just one occasion. That's two or three families that has happened to. So these families aren't just coming here for a better job. They're actually fighting for their life.
And that is Niamh Dodrell from St James's Primary School speaking to Emma O'Kelly today. Clearly very emotional and upset about what has happened. Emma also spoke to some of the people now living in that disused church, Asma and Vesla.
We are in a bad situation. There is a small room, no heating, four beds in small room, separate beds. We are a family with two children. I have a girl and a boy. It is so bad situation. We don't have a bathroom. We don't have toilets. There is not
ceiling.
Ceiling room is not closed. There is a lot of noise. If someone close the door or open the door, all the people wake up. It's a bad situation. Shared bathroom, only bathroom for 40 people. It's crazy to put us in a place like this.
I don't come to sleep anymore because it's so cold and I'm not going to the school in the night. I'm so cold like this.
And you didn't go to school today?
Yeah, because I didn't sleep today.
Why?
Because it's so cold and I don't want to sleep.
And that was Asma and Vesla, two of the 20 families who've been moved into this disused church from their previous accommodation at Red Cow Hotel in Dublin, and some of the children living there as well, speaking to education correspondent Emma O'Kelly today. Well, listening to that was Tanya Ward from the Children's Rights Alliance, and you're welcome to the programme, Tanya. The Department of Education has issued this significant warning about their own capacity to provide school places, given the influx of students from Ukraine, and then we see things like this happening. How concerning is it?
Well, look, you can see the hole, I suppose, in Niamh's life and the school community's life where those children were. You can just imagine the hole and the gap in the children who had to leave that school. And I suppose one of the things that's really important for refugee children, we know when we talk to them, they say when they arrive, they really want to get into a school, they want to make friends, they want to do all the normal things that other children, young people want to do. And it's really the first step in trying to rebuild their lives and dealing with what they've been through. And, you know, a lot of children here will still have family members on the front line or living in a dangerous situation, and going to school every day or the local youth service will keep them together, you know, will hold them together. Mm. You know, what strikes me about the experience of this family, I think these families, I think this is going to keep happening unless we really reverse and change how we are developing the reception system for refugees arriving in Ireland. I mean, there's a huge success story, I think, when it comes to the education system. Ireland, for example, has some of the best registration rates for Ukrainian refugee children. There's many children in Central Europe, the Czech Republic, for example, where children aren't in school. They're just stuck in a hotel room and they're not interacting with anyone. And what you're seeing here in Ireland is that, you know, the school communities have really embraced refugee children. The government has set up, you know, support teams around the country to help get children into school. And as it happens, you know, I suppose there was capacity within the education system to take children. I think what you're hearing today, though, from the Department of Education is that there are places where there are pinch points around the country. And what they need is they need capital expenditure. They need the government to release funds so they can expand educational provision. But I think the other thing we need to think about, as I say, is reversing the reception system. So we've had an emergency system where we've had civil servants work around the clock, mostly using hotel-type accommodation to keep a roof over people's heads. And that's just not sustainable. And it means that, you know, where we do have school places, and the Department of Education is pushing, yeah, we've got school places here and there and around the country, there isn't anyone saying, OK, we're going to develop accommodation there where those school places are. And I think that's what we need to do now. We need to bring in the planners, we need to bring in the construction experts, we need to bring in the housing experts and develop a different system.
Okay, because so that's we are interesting. Rather than look for the accommodation first and the services later, do it the other way around.
That's it. And that's the only way around this. I mean, that's what you're hearing across the board, I think, in all the news reports. Is everyone is saying we can't take any more. You're either going to have to grow what we have available. And there's loads of solutions floating about, like mobile GP units, you know, moving to different parts of the country. But actually, if we're going to do this right, we have to start moving to a more permanent solution. And I think everyone is kind of in agreement. We need an agency now to actually take control and provide refugee accommodation.
A standalone state agency to deal with all of the different aspects around this.
That's it. I mean, like we can't keep relying on the hotel accommodation. I think the hospitality industry has provided a huge role in responding to the refugee movements. And we can't just rely on the housing market. There's already massive pressure on the housing market. But so we need to come up with an alternative solution. So in the first instance, you can bring in your experts, but you can start moving to have a more permanent refugee agency. Ireland actually, you know, was moving in that direction back in 1999, 2000, 2001. But actually, we're back there again where we need to come up with a more permanent solution.
Just finally then, and an agency I know has been mooted before, but to the idea of going to where services are rather than where accommodation is, the problem, Tanya, is that sometimes the accommodation isn't where the services are, if you understand me.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not going to be perfect, and there's definitely going to be a need to be really dynamic and come up with solutions in different parts of the country. But, you know, there are possible solutions in terms of developing alternative accommodation, modular housing. What I'm always amazed, actually, is the amount of people coming forward anytime you're on the airwaves. It's not just ordinary people offering their houses. You get lots of different people coming forward offering apartment blocks, buildings that could easily be converted into accommodation. And I think there is a pressure with trying to convert that accommodation. If it's not big accommodation, the officials probably don't have the capacity to convert it. I think there's a lot more accommodation out there that could be converted, and we should be trying to match it up with the services that exist. And involving the communities as well in the kind of responses that are put forward as well.
Well, that certainly has been a theme of the show today, communication with the communities. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Tanya Ward, Children's Rights Alliance CEO.